Somebody said, through many dangers, horrors, and tears. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. That the devil thought he closed, God had another door. Yes. Amen. God made a way out of. I said, God made a way out of. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We just bless the Lord. I said when we spoke to this banker, he had a different attitude. Can't you appreciate a different attitude? Now, we don't do this often, but look at somebody and tell them, you need to have a different attitude. Come on, you need to have a different attitude. Amen. Loosen up. Hallelujah. We in church. God is great to do it, and we just bless the Lord for all that he's doing, amen. And like the banker said, he wants to try us to try and close in 2 weeks. So we got to see what happens, amen. Glory to God. God made a way out of no way. When I spoke to Bishop Hayes and all the other pastors, they were shouting more than we are. They were praying the Lord more than we are. I spoke to Pastor LaFaye. He said, this is a miracle. Yeah, this is a miracle. Hallelujah. I spoke to Pastor Harford. He said, what has God wrought? Yeah, so we need to be excited. And, you know, one of the things was, I had actually, yes, Minister Elder Gibbs, I switched up on the way to church. Had a message. Driving down Federal Street, and all of a sudden the Lord started changing. I said, I don't know if I can go switch it that fast. That's a whole lot of stuff you just gave me between Federal Street and like First Street, rather. It's a whole lot of stuff to try to get in at one time, you know. I said, I've been preparing for one thing. And the Lord, you know, when God just started putting all these thoughts in that you didn't even, I mean, thoughts that you haven't had in years.
Right.
The books you haven't read in years, you know it has to be God. Amen.
Yeah, right.
So can we let the Lord have his way?
Yeah.
Can we let the Lord have his way? One of the things, you know, that the Lord was showing me is that we are all so excited about being saved. Amen. We're so happy about Jesus. Glad to be baptized in his name. Glad to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of us are just full of weights? Right? Full of weights. Amen. God has done everything. God keep opening doors that no man can close. God keep making ways out of no ways. But weights. Amen. I wasn't going yet, but if the Lord said go here, guess what? Right now, y'all know I'm going to go where God says go. Amen. Because if God says go, it has to go. Now, we're not dismissing the young people tonight, but we want the young people to pay attention. Amen. Amen. So adults, help me out. Young people, amen. We want them to get something out of the message. So like I said, on the way down to church, we were going to continue our thought on adversity and going through suffering and obtaining a blessing. You know, a blessing is one out of adversity. And I had prepared something. We hadn't finished Sunday, so I figured with the help of the Lord, we would finish it tonight. But as I said, coming down Federal Street, things start changing.
Yes, sir.
No, I don't want to ever get to the point where I just take God's leading for granted. But sometimes you can study all you want, and God has a different message. Amen. But we are going to touch a little on Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to hold the book of Philippians chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 also, and then we're going to go to Esther. We haven't been to Esther. I don't remember us going to Esther in a long time. Y'all remember Esther?
Yes.
Not Easter, Esther. Yeah. Amen. Esther. Somebody say, Esther, is that in there? Is that in there?
Yes,
amen. But, you know, as we were coming down, the Lord was dealing with me about weights. You know, because a lot of us in church, but we don't have joy because of weights. And the weights aren't necessarily what is happening directly to us, But what we see indirectly others are doing, that has become a weight to us. Amen? Listen, the weight is not what you are experiencing. The weight is what the devil is using in maybe faults and failures of others to get you down. That's a weight. Amen? So can we all stand? We're going to read just 3 verses of scripture tonight as we stand. And then we're going to go through a lot more, but weights. The distractions, the problems of others, weakness, failure, shortcomings of others have you all weighed down when the joy of the Lord ought to be our strength. Amen. Jesus said, the joy that I give you, the world, and the world can't give it to you. Amen. He said, you are to be of good cheer. He said, because I have overcome. Now that I doesn't just mean him, but I encompasses the whole church. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So the challenge to us standing God is not focusing on the world. Amen. Verse 1 reads, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside
every weight.
Some weights.
Every weight.
Just the weights that we don't like.
Every weight.
There are weights that you like. You still got to lay them aside. And the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance. Means you got to keep going. And even though you might be weary, keep going, don't quit, don't stop. Run the race that is set before us. Now, how do I overcome the weights? How do I overcome the sins? How do I keep running this race? By doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, that word, you see, it's in brackets. That was not in the original text. The original text said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Amen. I believe it's Mark chapter 11, verse 22, I believe it is, when after the apostles are shocked that overnight the fig tree withered, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. But the true interpretation of that is have the faith of God. So Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. You have to have a faith of God. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him. Now who in the world will be happy about suffering? Amen. Who's going to be happy about suffering? Enduring the cross, despising, and then sit down at the right hand of God. Now you may be seeing what's up there. He endured the cross, despising the what? The shame. Amen. And we went over on Sunday that Jesus learned obedience through the things which he what? Suffered. Amen. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. Now, this question that we want to ask this. If Jesus learned obedience to the thing he suffered, and he endured the cross and despised the well, what was the shame of the cross? Why was that a shame? Yeah, if Jesus was some of us, we say, look, I don't mind glorifying you, Lord, but I'm not going to do it in a dishonorable, disgraceful way, the tree. Hang on a tree. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3 for one quick moment. We won't stay most of this long, but we got to get you to see the shame, how despicable. It was degrading. It was demoralizing. This was the worst way to suffer. But our Savior, who was the greatest, suffered in the worst way. Our Savior, the greatest, suffered in the worst way, but he endured the cross for the what? Joy. That was what? Hallelujah. When you get to heaven, that ain't nothing but joy. Somebody said, we'd be able to sing a song that the angels. I'm waving to somebody. I didn't call your name because I wanted to hear your name, but you know who you are. Way back. All right, thank you. Amen. Endured the cross for the what? Joy that was what? You know what he said? You know what? They always talk about looking beyond over the plateau. Amen. You ever go stand on a mountain and there's a mountaintop? You see from mountaintop to mountaintop. You don't look in the what? In the valley. Well, Jesus didn't look at the valley. All he looked from was mountaintop to mountaintop. The Bible said that just those of us that are saved, we live from faith to what? Faith. Right? So we don't look at the valley. We don't look at the trial. We don't look at the test. We only see the victory. That is the joy that is set before us. Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9 for a second. Galatians 3, verse 9. And so then they which be of, if you're full of faith, then you're what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. As many that are under the works of the law are under the what? The curse. Amen. For it is written, curse is everyone that continueth not in. If you don't continue in what? All things which are written in the book of the law to them, to do them, but that no man is justified by the law, our faith, what we do is, it has to be in the sight of who? God. It is evident for the just. That shell is fixed. It's not an option. If you want to be just, you have to live by faith. Now tonight, faith we know is the substance of things that are what? And it's the evidence or the conviction of things which are not seen. So I don't see it, but that does not diminish my faith. I still stay strong in faith. Though all the odds might be stacked against me, I still stay strong in faith, because the just must live by and the righteous live from faith to faith. Amen. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made the law. Our God was made a, he took the lowest form. He took the lowest form for what? For you and I. Amen. And sometimes we wonder how we can be, as a people of God, why we lift ourselves up so high when the Bible said he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. He's the God of glory, yet for our sake he took on him the shame of flesh and sin. For whose sake? Being cursed for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Then you know what? Cursed. So Jesus became a curse for us that we might be saved. That's why he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Because just imagine this, God knows that when people see somebody on a tree, they say, you know what, they're no good. They're cursed. What can you offer me when you're despised, rejected, and no one wants anyone that's hanging on a tree? But the Lord took the lowest form of suffering. And why didn't he just get martyred? Why didn't he just get his head cut off, right? Why didn't he just do it? He went through all of that for us. And the Bible said in Isaiah, read Isaiah chapter 53. That's where I was supposed to go, but I can't stay there because I got to go where the Lord told me to go. He went through all of that for us. Cursed. You know, every time they looked at Jesus, that's why they couldn't honor him as God, because he was cursed according to the law. But God. But God. Amen. So he took on the shame of the cross for us to be saved. Amen. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. He took on that for us. Suffering. Shame. Amen. For us, that would be a weight. Amen. boy. It's like, Lord, you know, there's a lot of different ways I can. You know, you have a reasonable God. Look, I don't mind this, but I'm not going to do that. Don't say that. Because the thing you don't want to do, Job said, the thing that I fear the most is what? The thing you don't like. God said, okay, well, if you don't like that, that's why I want you to overcome. Amen. So like everything. It's coming. I like it, Lord. I know it, you know. God said, well, I already know this in your heart anyway, so I don't go by what you say. But what I'm saying is this. Church people, we need to change. Amen. Some of the things that we have deemed as nothing and despicable, you know, it's like in church, we say, I'll do this, but I won't do that. Like some people say, I've never cleaned nobody's bathroom. Amen. You know what you should say, Lord? Apostle Paul, after God saved him, after he went from hellbound road to that glorybound road, he said, Lord, what will thou have? The weight that many of us are dealing with is we want to do what we want to do, but we don't want to do what God wants us to do. Amen. Maybe sometimes God saying, you know what, I want you to go lead testimony service. I don't do that. That's what you want to do. Hello? I know. This is one of the popular things, right? But that's the way. Because that means you're not submissive. You're not obedient to God because of what you want to do. Wow. Let me see. All right. Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me see which way I'm going to go with this. Yeah. What you want to do. Amen. So do I want to go here? Do I want to go to Philippians? Go to Philippians chapter 2 first. And I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be. What you want to do? Amen. What do you want to do? We don't want to submit to God. And the way that many of us experience is our own personal what I want instead of what God wants. Amen. God has gone through so much. He went through, I just referenced Peter. The Bible says he went through all that when he was reviled. He didn't speak back. He was as a lamb dumb before the slaughter. He didn't even open his mouth. Amen. And the scripture said, these are the examples that we should follow in his steps. So you can read that in 1 Peter. He said, you know what, when the Lord went through, when he was on the cross, remember they tried to get him to come down. The soldiers mocked him. They spit in his face. And the Bible said, because of how they tortured the Lord on the cross, his visage was marred beyond that of any man. They said there was no comeliness. In other words, when you looked at the Lord, he looked like one big sore, bleeding, despicable, rejected, no good, blood flowing everywhere, but he did it for who? Us. For us. He went through all that for us. Now the Bible says these are examples for us to follow in his. So the next time something happens that you don't like, just keep walking in the steps. Amen. Say, so like, I don't like the Lord, but you did it, so guess what? I'm going to walk in it. Y'all going to walk in this? Hey, just move your foot a little bit, man. No, I know you don't. Come move your foot. Y'all got to wake up anyway. Y'all know you'll fall asleep for a minute. Move your foot. Walk in his steps. Amen. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bounds, that sounds like a saint to me. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be. Having the same love, being of. And of. What? Now we're trying to be like Christ. Amen. Let nothing be done through. Stop right there. I'm trying to surrender all. I'm asking God, what do you want me to have me to do? But when God shows me, you know what I do? I have strife. You know what strife is? God shows you what you should do and you fight him. That's fighting. God said, you know, I want you to follow my steps. I want you to be humble as I was. I want you to follow my leading. Even in suffering, I still want you to have joy. But then when we suffer, we don't have joy. And the Lord is trying to bring the joy out of us because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we sit there stone-faced and ugly. Woo! I'm not sure. I'm just saying, you know, some of the people are stone-faced and ugly, right? Why? Because there's strife. Because God is leading you in a certain direction. And you are now fighting it. And what's it? Well, why are you doing it? Because it's what I want to do. That's vainglory. So when you fight God because of what you want, he said, let nothing be done through what? Strife or vainglory, but in. You got to calm down. Lose your opinion of self. Amen. Then it's time to surrender to God. Because that strife, that vainglory is a weight. But you can't get to where God wants you to go. You know, it's like, I'm going down the street, and I'm trying to get from here down to Cutler Street, and I just put like five or six people on my back. Guess where I'm going? Nowhere fast. That's what a weight is. You carry unnecessary baggage that God doesn't intend for you to carry because of strife. Every time you resist or fight the will or counsel of God, you put on the weight. Because you're not surrendering. And then when you go home, you know you're not surrendering. When you're around the saints, you don't have joy because you won't surrender. And then you're resisting and fighting God, you just keep piling on more weights. You say, wow, why don't I ever have peace? Why don't I have joy? Because you're fighting God because of vainglory. Amen. So let nothing be done through strife of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each others better than themselves. You know, so you know what? Even though I understand and I see what you did, I don't think evil because I believe in God's love. Amen. So when we start doing things our way, we fight God, we get weights. When we surrender to God, then God elevates us. When we fight God, we demote ourselves. We hold ourselves down by fighting God. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And how do we do this? How do you do it? You got what? God does everything. You know why God does allow us to go through things? He's trying to get that mind that we have out, that we no longer conform to this world, but be transformed by the what? God's trying to renew your mind, and all the time God's trying to renew your mind and get you away from thinking like the world, you go right back to thinking like the world. So God said, well, I'm trying to push you or lead you, because God never pushes us. I'm trying to lead you in a certain direction because I'm trying to transform the way you are thinking. And for a little while, we get on board, and then all of a sudden, we're right back. Why? Because our mind has not been renewed. It has not been transformed. So every time God tries to lead us in a spiritual direction, we can't receive God's leading because we're walking in the flesh. Right? Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity. So tonight, is my mind carnal or is my mind spiritual? If it's carnal, you get weights because you cannot receive the things that be of God. So God is trying to lead us in a spiritual direction, but we cannot receive it. Amen? So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being, this is how good Jesus was. But Jesus is in the form of God. Now, if we were Jesus, when they showed us the cross, we would say, ain't no way. Right? Seriously, if y'all were Jesus, ain't no way I'm getting on that cross. Ain't no way. Can y'all hang with me? Ain't no way I'm going through all that suffering. I said, no, I wouldn't. Well, you can't do the simple things now. How could you do the greater? So God is leading and directing his people, but we keep fighting him because of what we want. We won't surrender to God because of what I want. Amen. But Jesus was in the, he was God. Amen. Seeing God in the face of Jesus Christ, right, who is the image of the invisible God. He was God, who being in the form of God. God is not roaring to be, he said, you know what, I am God. But guess what? He made himself of no reputation. If you really want to be saved, don't worry about your reputation as far as the world is. Just give your heart, mind, and soul to God. They sing a song, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Are you really willing to give God your heart and your soul? Because God has your heart and your soul, guess what? God got you. You won't make yourself a reputation. You'll surrender, amen? And took upon him the form of a, hold on. God became a, God became a what? A servant? For what? And was made in the likeness of men? Keep going. And being found in fashion, this is, we should follow in the step. He was God. He had every right to do what God does. But he humbled. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. If we learn to submit to God and just humble ourselves and became, like I said, that was us. That's all right. I've been on that cross. No, absolutely not. I'm not right. I'm not talking. You know, how many of us tell God all we are going to do? All right, y'all know y'all doing. I know y'all. I see y'all. I don't really have to hear y'all. I see y'all. I ain't going around that person. I'm not going to do it. Well, one of the pastors said to me the other day, he said, I'm trying to figure out how one of these people going to do it up in heaven and they can't do it on earth. He said, how in the world are they going to rejoice up in heaven and be dancing around the throne? He said, they can't even do it down on earth. You thought, think about that one. Think about it. You can't get along on earth. They're going to rejoice in heaven. Amen. The problem is we're fighting God by doing things our way through strife and vain glory. Amen. He came obedient to death, even the most despicable way for any man to die was the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. We know and give him a name which is above every name, under the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things everything. That encompasses about everything. That every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always, as ye have, can we say always obey?
Always obey.
Yeah, some of y'all ain't say that because y'all know you ain't always obeying. This is what we're projecting, what we're going to do. Amen? Y'all scared, you know what? Y'all scared when y'all look down. At least look up and fake me out. Amen. As ye have always obeyed. Now this next scripture is, this portion of scripture is important. Not as in my, it's easy to do the right thing when people are what? Watching you. But now, much more in my, I want you to do what? Work out. You know what work out your own salvation means? Work out that strife and vainglory. It starts with strife and vainglory, and he leads up. You know what I want you to do? I want you to work out that strife and vainglory. He didn't say just do something, but you got to do what? You got to put effort into doing the right thing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it ain't nobody else. If you're going through it, it is God that what? Working in both to will and to do of his own. God's own. Everything that's happening to you, everything that happened to me, y'all singing all the time. I'm trying to wake y'all out of y'all stupor. You know, it's been a long week. And then we had a nerd to get up and have snow this morning. Right, and all this cold. It's like, I'm just all beat up. Right. Everything that happened to me,
God did it.
Well, why did he do it? For our own good pleasure. Now let's go to where we're supposed to go. We're dealing with weights. All right, so now let's go to Esther chapter 2. We're dealing with weights. Now, weights, we're going to deal with an individual tonight. His weight with other people. Amen. His way with other people. Thank God we don't have that problem. You ever get around some people and you just, the whole countenance goes. Sometimes people are obvious, and sometimes they're obvious. Not in here. All right, not in here. You know it is in here, too. You'd be all happy if somebody come around and look like somebody. You almost able to walk on your lip. Right? Lip back. What happened? I just can't stand it. You know what? Till you get over that, that's your weight. Amen? That's your weight. It's something. No, I can't see that one. I ain't gonna mess with nobody. All right, I'm just saying, you gotta get over yourself. Amen. We need to elevate Christ. I believe John the Baptist said it best. What John say? John said he must increase. And I must
decrease.
I got to decrease. I have to make life all about Jesus. Looking unto, following in his step, because the minute you start looking at others, as we're going to read here, and I got a few minutes, so I'm not going to be long, but I got a few minutes to go from Esther chapter 2 to Esther chapter 8. All right, but I'm going to skim through it fast. We're going to find an individual that got messed up. And he was all messed up because of somebody else. And then in his messed up, he really got messed up. You know why? Because his messed up caused his heart to go wrong. And what the trap that he set for someone else called him. That's what weights will do. Them weights will get you to the point that they'll mess you up. Amen. But let's go. Let's get going. Verse 20 of chapter 2. And I'll go through fast. I'll only stop when somebody raises their hand. I ain't going to look at y'all because y'all be raising your hand the whole time. It's like, stop. Anyway, verse 20 reads, now this is when Queen Vashti refused to come before King Ahasuerus, and all the details of that's not important. But she refused to come, so then King Ahasuerus gets another queen, and the queen is Esther, who's of the captivity. She's actually one of the Jews that were brought from Jerusalem to Babylon. She's now the queen. But they don't know she's a Jew. Alright, they don't know she's a Jew. Amen. So it says, Esther had not yet shown her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai as when she was brought up with him. And this was actually his niece, he raised her. In those days, while Mordecai sat at the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. In other words, she said, you know what? They have a plan for you, king. And the reason I know is because Mordecai said it. And when the inquisition was made, it was found out that it was true. So they hanged him on a, that's the word, screen. And it's written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. So what Mordecai did is in the book of the kings. Now this is important for four chapters later. Just remember, Mordecai tells king, and the king is saved, and they hang the two conspirators on a tree, and it's written in the book of the Chronicles. But nobody does anything. Sometimes blessings delayed are not blessings denied. God will make a way. Amen. So chapter 3 reads, after these things did Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, advanced him and set his seat above all princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai thou not, nor did him reverence. Then was he being disobedient to the king? No. You know why he didn't do it? Because he was a Jew. And the Jews knew they didn't bow down to anybody other than God. So when you make your stand for God, God will make his stand for you. All right, so Mordecai would not bow down. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did reverence, then was Haman full of, but he wasn't doing, I mean, Mordecai all messed up all the way down because he didn't think he was getting the respect that he should get. You ever have like that in church? You don't feel like you get any respect, you get all messed up. And watch that. The Bible says that root of bitterness will spring up and trouble you. And we find out it's going to trouble Mordecai, okay? So he wouldn't do it. So then went Haman forth. Mordecai, well, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ashur, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, we skip on down. And then verse 18, Haman said unto King Ashur's days, a certain people scattered abroad, and he tells them where are they, the Jews and so on, and he asked permission. He wanted to destroy all the Jews because of what? One person. Right? That's what waits to do. One person you might have an issue with, and then they're not doing it directly to you because you think they're doing it because they're disrespecting you. But they're doing it because they're honoring God. Amen. You all messed up because you think they're disrespecting you because you want them to have greater respect and honor for you than they do for God. So because you don't understand the reverence, because you don't understand the respect, you all messed up. So you know what? I'm going to destroy all of them. Amen. That was his mindset. He said, listen, if I can't get him to do it, God's going to destroy all of them. Amen. So he purposely going to destroy all of them. And the king said unto Haman, verse 11, the service given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. So it was set forth, and they posted it throughout Shushan and all the palace. And chapter 4, I'm going fast as I can. When Mordecai heard it, he rent his clothes and set the sackcloth and ashes in the king's gate. Now this was a strict no-no. You weren't supposed to be in the king's gate like this, because this was a place of honor. But now Mordecai is in mourning because of what Mordecai is doing. He wants to destroy all the people of God because it's a weight to him. You gotta watch them weights. They will make you act in the ugliest way possible because that's your weight. And the people don't even know what they're doing to you. Amen? Because they're making a stand for God. That's why in church, you can't, the Bible says, work out what? Your own salvation. The Bible says, study to be quiet and to do your own business. Y'all read that in Thessalonians? Amen. It's in Thessalonians. I don't forget which chapter. I think chapter 5 or 1 Thessalonians. It says, study to be quiet and do your own business. It's in there. Y'all read that? Y'all read that? It's in there. Because as long as you worry about your own salvation, you don't worry about nobody else. But then when you start messing with other people's stuff, Mordecai, you get messed up because they're not doing what you want them to do. So he seeks to destroy all of the Jews. Amen. So Mordecai sits in the king's gate in sackcloth and ashes. And when Esther hears it, she sends clothes and he refused to be clothed. And she said, well, what is the problem? And he said, you need to go to the king, because this wicked Haman has purpose. I've been saying Mordecai, it's supposed to be Haman. This wicked Haman, y'all can let me say Mordecai, it's supposed to be Haman. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Y'all know what I meant anyway, so we were in the right area, just the wrong zip code. But amen. So this wicked Haman had purpose that he was going to destroy all of the Jews. And when Mordecai told Queen Esther, Queen Esther said, well, I can't go before the king because he didn't call for me. And Mordecai told him, he said, listen, if you don't go to the king, he said, deliverance will arise from another place. He said, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. Amen. So Esther told him, she said, fast. Get all the people in the palace of Shushan to fast. We're going to fast for 3 days and 3 nights. She said, and the third day, I will go to see the king. And this is when they say, if I perish, let me perish, because I'm going to see the king. Hallelujah. How many of us are afraid to do anything because of the threat of what might happen? You fast and pray. Don't worry about the rest of it. God will take care of the rest. Amen. So now that brings us up to chapter 5. All right. So they fasted and prayed. Why? Because all the Jews. That's what a way to do. The way it makes you see stuff that people are even bothering you. You all messed up. You don't have no peace. You don't have no joy. You just paranoid, creating all the situations. You know, I just destroy them all. Because they say, what? Wait. All right, so verse chapter 5, verse 1 says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther said, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Right, God is working it out. But it wasn't like Haman thought. Hallelujah. Because Esther made a stand. Mordecai made a stand. What was the stand? They want to honor God and God only. Don't ever allow anyone to cause you to compromise. Don't you bow to a man. Amen. Don't you succumb to anybody. No man. If it's in defiance and disrespect, make a stand for God. Amen. So it said, then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted. Verse 7, then answered Esther, said, my petition and my request is this. If I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Then went Haman forth that day, full of joy and glad of heart. Amen. Full of what? Joy and glad of heart. But. Don't let nobody have you enjoy their pockets. That will become a weight. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up, nor moved for him, he was full That's a weight. How you going from being so happy to all messed up? Because of weights. Amen. Because of something you allowed to happen. Nothing physically had happened. But somebody else got you all messed up and you don't have no. How you got joy and all of a sudden you feel joy and then look like you lost everything? Because of what? A weight. And the weight is not you, the weight is somebody else. Because you're not studying to take care of your own business, you're meddling in somebody else's business. And you know what the Bible says? Solomon was a wise man. He said, he that passes by and meddling with something that doesn't even involve him is like one that does what? Y'all read this. This is month number 11. We don't read the book of Proverbs. 11 times these chapters. It's like one to do what? Take a dog by the ears. You know what he said? That, what happened if you carry a dog by the ear? What are you going to do? Right? He said, that's what happens when you meddle with stuff that don't pertain to you. Amen. You start messing with stuff that don't. Yeah. All right, we're going to start. Lord, it's almost the end of the year. We're going to start again. All right. It's only 11 months. Y'all got a lot to make up in a month. But when you mess with stuff that don't pertain to you, it's like one that takes a dog by the ears. You know what happens when you grab a dog by the ears? You grab it. There's somebody grabbing you by your ears. What you going to do? Right? You don't mess with stuff, but this is what Haman, he's messing with stuff that don't pertain to him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it says, nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friend and for Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches, and of the multitude of his children, and all the things where the king had promoted him, and how he advanced himself above the princes. Oh, he's been promoted. Ain't that enough? Right? But wait. Right? All this promotion, he can't see the promotion and the good for seeing. We'll find out he found sort of way. Haman said, moreover, yea, as to the queen, did let no man come into the king unto the banquet that she had prepared for myself. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. He all messed up. This is a wait. Right? Wait a minute. All this good stuff happening, yet one thing has him all messed up. He said, yet is all don't mean a thing. So long as I see Mordecai out of you sitting, await. Await. Mordecai, I wasn't doing nothing to him. He just was sitting. He didn't even say nothing to him. But he all messed up. Await. Right? Lay aside every. All messed up and he did nothing to him. Right? But let's speed this all up. Let's see how his weight turned out to be his destruction. His weight was his destruction. Amen. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friend unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And a thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. After y'all finish reading, he said, I'm going to read some more about this Esther. I'm going to fill in the gaps. Who ain't read about Esther? Just raise your hand to yourself. Right? Don't raise your hand to yourself. All right. So now he's conniving, he's plotting, he's doing all this because someone has made a stand for God. Make your stand for God. Irregardless. Though you have done the right thing, the Bible says, be not weary in what? Don't be weary, because in due season you're going to. Now, in Mordecai's mind and everybody else's mind, what he had told the king about the two chamberlains that were going to destroy him was now forgotten. But how many know God keeps the record? How many know God keeps the record? It was written in the chronicle of the book of the kings. There was no king that got a chronicle like our God. It's written in the book. You didn't get it yet, but it's on the way. Just you don't be weary and well doing. Next verse, chapter says, all that, not the next line, not a year later, on that same night, let the devil move. Let him plot, let him deny. But ultimately, God is in charge. Can I get an amen? Amen. On that night, could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the... Somebody said, I thought he forgot. But when God had it in the book, hallelujah, in Revelation said, in the books shall be open. And he's going to reward us out of everything that's written in the books. If an unrighteous, ungodly king can keep a book, how much more would a righteous and a godly king reward us out of the book? The Mordecai was a slave. He was part of the captivity. He warned the king, but the king put it in the books. Hallelujah. And at the right time, when the king couldn't sleep, the king said, bring me back. Don't be weary. I said, don't be weary and well doing. He said, bring the book of the Chronicles. Amen. It said, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains and keepers of the door who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Lord, thank you. It might not come when you want it. It might not happen when you expect it. I heard somebody say, but he's an on-time God. I say he's an on-time God. Don't you be weary. Don't you quit. Hallelujah. Let us not be weary and well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we faint not. So you would think it's forgotten, but God keeps a record. And everything you've done, God has a record. Amen. He said, let the books be read. And the king said, what honor and dignity have been done to Mordecai for this? You see God's timing? The enemy's purpose to destroy. I heard somebody say, but elevation and promotion comes from? Man can't demote you when God elevates you. You just stay in God. You just keep doing the right thing. Hallelujah. No matter what your enemy has planned against you, the Bible said when you stand for God, the enemy is going to come against you one way, but when God is fighting your battle, you're going to flee. Why? God is fighting him. So Mordecai doesn't know it. Esther doesn't know it. But how many know when God is in charge, he'll bless you in his time. Amen. He said, well, what's been done? Then said the king's servant that ministered on them, there is nothing done for what time? Right? The enemy is trying to destroy him. But God knows how to take away the sleep of the king to reward his child. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to what? Thank God in the name of Jesus. Yes, that way for Haman turned out to be a blessing for Mordecai. That's when a blessing is born out of adversity. The devil has purpose to do all of this, but God had a plan. Amen. And you wouldn't have figured it out, but God had a plan. He said, now Haman was coming to the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth? Bible said, look not every man on his own thing, but what? On the things of others, right? You better get out of self. It's like, okay, it was like, no. Hey, who's going to honor one more than me? You know, I'm the man, right? So Abel said, if you're going to honor, I got to make this thing real good. Right? I'm going to make it. You going to help me? All right. I tried to make it interesting for y'all, so you stay with me. I'm going to make it real. I'm going to make it real good. Amen. So Abel came in, and the king said, what shall be done? He said, now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more? Look not every man on his own thing, but on the things of others. Don't let nothing be done through strife and yes, you think you're going up, but you're about to go. You're about to go down. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought out which the king used to wear. And the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hands of the one the king, most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king. He was like, yeah, I'm about to get my honor. Amen. I'm about to get my honor. But his weight was his destruction, right? Because in his weight, he couldn't see past himself. That's what a weight does. It takes the focus off of everything, and all you can ever see is yourself, all right? Look not every man on his own things, all right? So he said, then the king said to Haman, make haste, take that apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even to want a king out of what? What? You want me to go bless that weight that messed me up all this time? Yes. Because you meant it for evil. Ah, but I heard somebody say, what you meant for evil, God meant it. What you meant it for destruction, God meant it for a blessing. What you meant to bring down, God meant it to elevate. That's why you gotta get rid of those weights. Your enemy will become your footstool if you just stay in God. So I said, well, how about I'm gonna do just stay in God? Keep doing it God's way. So here goes Mordecai. I brought him on the horseback through the street of the city and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king. Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house. You gotta watch them wait. Right, when he should have been happy, he was sad. Now that sadness is about to destroy him because of a wait. All right, so we've been humorous, but we're trying to get rid of some what? Weights, amen. And came to the house mourning, having his head. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife and him, if Mordecai, Lord, thank you. People know when you are the Lord's side. They know when you're chosen by God. They said, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast. Thou shalt. He can't win. Why? He got too much going for him. God is on his side. He said, you should not prevail against him, but thou shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlain hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Alright, let me speed it up. We're gonna go through chapter 7 and we almost, oh Lord. Somebody stole time. Who's still in time? Somebody stole. Alright, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day, at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, to the half of the kingdom? Verse 3. And Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, that wait. Because he couldn't shake it. He couldn't get rid of it. It's going to wind up in this distrust. Amen. Said, but if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I'd held my tongue. Although the
enemy
could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king of Sheba's answered and said to Esther the queen, who is he? And where? Haman sitting there now, sure he's shaking his shoes. Right? That weight. Because he couldn't shake it. He couldn't let it go. When he had his joy, he should have kept it. Right? He should have minded his own business. But in his jealousy, in that weight, that little seed, that little root sprung up and it is now troubling him. Amen. Isn't that what the scripture says? A little root bitterness. It'll spring up and trouble you. That little root there is springing up. That thing become a huge tree for Haman. Amen. And that's what said, the adversary and enemy, it says, wicked Haman. Then, Haman was scared before the king and the queen. And the king arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make requests. The very one he wanted to destroy, now he has to go and plead for mercy. Just make your stand. Do right before God. Don't let nothing. So, you know, sometimes we get so frustrated. We say, you know, I just figure, why keep fighting? I'd rather switch this fight, keep fighting. Stand for God. Don't you let nothing turn you around. Don't you let nothing change you. And the king rose and went to the palace of God, and Haman stood up to make requests for his wife to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereupon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? Right? That's when you mess up. When you allow that weight to just keep festering, right, and brewing, it gets worse and worse. As the words went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows, 50 foot high, which... Yes, you gotta watch what you're doing. Because the captain said, we'll catch you. Right? A lot of times people do stuff in church, think they get by with it. That trap is going to catch you. Because God knows and he sees. Waits. So the very thing that he purposed to do to an innocent man now has him. Amen? So then the king said, hang him on the very thing that he wanted to use against a righteous man. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath. But listen, look at this. But look, this is how God works. You know, what the devil meant for evil, just stay in God and do the right thing. It might seem like it's working against you, but let's go just a couple more verses. Now, old Haman thought he had, I'm getting it right now, I'm not calling him Mordecai, I hate Haman, right? Haman thought he had a man, right? All right, so I'm going to destroy him and all the Jews. So they, verse 8:1. On that day, the king Ahasuerus gave the Jews' enemy unto, he gave the house to Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before king, for Esther had told what he was, as we said. He had purposely wanted to destroy the Jews. And the Jews got his house. Amen. Waits. You gotta eliminate waits. Don't allow anything anybody else do to take your joy. Don't stand in holiness is what? Don't let nobody have your joy in. Come on, y'all old timers. Matthew, you old timer. Young Tessa, y'all old timer. Everybody has old timers. I know you guys. I'm trying to get some of the old, old timers. Way old. No, as the elders and ministers come forward. Don't let anybody get allowed. Don't allow anybody to get your joy in their pockets. Anytime you have joy, anytime you have peace, and somebody comes around and you lose your joy, Haman, don't do that. That becomes a weight to you. The Bible said we need to lay aside every, can we say every weight? Every day I'm living to get closer to God. Every day I'm living to be with Jesus. You know, I can always reflect back on the negatives and the things that have happened in my life and use them to give me a victim mentality. But God permitted it to happen because it's God that worketh in us. But a lot of the decisions was because of my poor decisions. But how many know that when you mean well, God knows how to take the crooked thing and He'll make it straight. Those rough places in your life, when you mean well, God will take those rough places and He will make them smooth. So there are many times I look back and sometimes if you stay there too long, it'll mess you up. But I heard Paul say, I'm forgetting. Can we forget? I don't care if it happened an hour ago. Can you forget it? Forgetting all things which are what? They're behind you. Let them go. Because if you don't forget those things which are behind you, they will become a weight. Forgetting all things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before. It's time for us to press toward the mark for the prize of the. Anybody want to go to the high calling of God? Listen, forget about what's behind you. Forget about who's wronged you. Forget about all of that. Amen. All the time I get people come up to me and say, don't you remember? I don't remember none of that stuff. Amen. I'm placing in the sea of forgiveness. You know why? Because I'm moving forward on the higher ground. I can't stay back there. I can't stay the things that had me bound. I'm moving forward. Amen. Let everybody else have come and do what they will. I still got my joy. I still got my peace. And most of all, it's well with my soul. Hallelujah. I'm determined not to let anything or anybody else be aware to me. Elder Mackey. Hallelujah.